is finished. And praise the Lord for that truth. James chapter 3 tonight, James chapter 3, and verse 5 and 6 is what we'll be looking at. James chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm preaching a message this evening entitled The Corruption of the Tongue. The Corruption of the Tongue. Here in the book of James chapter 3 verse 5 and 6, the Bible says this: Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would see this tonight as a warning of what our tongue is and what it's capable of, as we heard just a couple of weeks ago. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to have the power over this little member that we're talking about tonight. But Lord, we can only have that through your power. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to draw closer to you and guide and direct our thoughts and our words. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in the book of James, we see that it was written, as of course in the beginning of chapter 1, to the scattered believers, to the ones that were scattered about there. And it's a book of warnings, is it not? All through this book thus far, we've seen warning after warning, and it seems as though these warnings just keep coming. And you know, many times we'll hear a principle from the Word of God, and we'll hear something like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, or we'll hear God will take care of us, and he provides for us, and he's our shepherd, and all of these sorts of things. And we will stand up and we'll say, praise the Lord, we're so glad the Bible gives us that assurance. But then we hear warnings like this, and we're a little slower to praise the Lord for the warnings. Why? Because the things that he's warning us of are things that all of us have been guilty of in one way or another. And rather than saying, oh me, amen, we know that we ought to say, oh me. Because the truth of the matter is this: God knows exactly where we're at. Amen. God knows our hearts. God knows our minds. God knows the things that we say. Whether it exits our mouth or not, God knows what we wanted to say. Amen? And we need God's help. But it's not my intent to keep us a real long this evening. I'm trying to be cognizant of the time with the business meeting following the service. But we're only going to look at these two verses here. And I want to preach to you a message, as I mentioned, entitled The Corruption of the Tongue. And what we're going to do is talk about all of the bad things that tongue is capable of. By the end of this message, we'll be ready to cut it out, amen? But the truth of the matter is this: it can be used for good. But it can be a destructive little member as well. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the tongue, and it wasn't all bad things. We talked about how the tongue was compared to the bit in the horse's mouth, and it drives the horse to the right hand or to the left. And we also looked at how it was equated to the helm of the ship, which is a little member in comparison to that large vessel. But that little member has the power to turn that vessel, to decide which way the ship goes. I was talking to Declan today at lunch, and we saw a horse and carriage go by, and he asked me, he said, Dad, he said, how do they get the horse to turn that way? And of course, I went back to that analogy we used just a couple weeks ago. I said, he's got that bit in his mouth, and when he pulls that, it pulls that side, and he's steering that horse. As we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we need to allow the Lord to have the reins of our whole life, but especially the reins of our mouth. So we're going to be looking at the bad side of the tongue, if you will, tonight. It can have great benefits, but it can also be very, very destructive. And that brings us to point number one tonight, and that is this: the destruction of the tongue. The destruction of the tongue. Look at verse 5 of our passage here tonight. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Notice the end of this verse. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 5 talks about this little member, and then it talks about it causing a great fire. When we look at that word matter, it has the idea of talking about a forest or a set of woods, some wood of some sort. And we see here that this little fire can cause great destruction in a large forest. Something that all of us are at least somewhat familiar with is the Great Chicago Fire. It was a fire that burned in the American city of Chicago during October 8th through the 10th of 1871. It killed approximately 300 people, destroyed roughly 3.3 square miles of the city, including over 17,000 structures, and it left over 100,000 residents homeless. The fire began in a neighborhood southwest of the city center in a long period of hot, dry, windy conditions, and the wooden structure construction that was prevalent in the city led to this large fire. The fire leapt from the south branch of the Chicago River to central Chicago and leapt to the main stem of the river, consuming the near north side. Now, though it cannot be proven because of the landmass that it was taking up there, it is believed that the fire started in a barn when a lantern was kicked over. Now, if you know anything about a lantern, you know a lantern has a fire that's about this big, but yet it burned down the city. Why? Because a little fire can cause so much destruction. Think about that tongue that's in our mouth. That's what it's being equated to here. Just a few short months ago, there was a fire in downtown Oxford. The fire took down three buildings. It left over 100 people without a home. There was nothing left of their things. And though the investigation is still ongoing, it is believed that the fire started in one of the warehouses in the back of one of the buildings, whether it was intentional or accidental or due to old outdated wiring, no matter what it was, I can guarantee you somewhere along the way, it started with a spark. Amen. That's how it started. No matter what the main cause was, there was a spark there and it caused much destruction. Though it's easy to see the destruction, we can drive by and we can look at that. We know that a small fire can quickly grow and destroy. And too often we refuse to believe that our tongue is capable of causing more destruction than the fire that we saw in Oxford, and more destruction than the fire that we read about in the Great Chicago Fire. The little tongue that's in our mouth, it can cause more destruction than these wildfires that we see out west. And it does that in the very heart of mankind. Amen. Boy, it can cause destruction. It can rip families apart. It can rip churches apart. It can do all of those things. But it's such a little member. The morning following the fire here in Oxford, my wife and I, we went into downtown Oxford to check in on some of the bus kids and contacts that we had in the area, and we could see fire trucks everywhere. They were having to bring water in because of a water shortage in Oxford, and we could see debris all down the street, the collectible store. You could see the water coming out of the front and these expensive collectibles just washing out into the street. The windows were busted out from the water pressure coming from the fire trucks. The firefighters were tired. People were standing in awe of what just happened. All of that destruction going on because of a little spark, because of a little fire. And many times what happens is we allow this tongue of ours to cause great destruction. And you know what happens after we allow that? Whether it's the next day, it may be just a few moments from then, it may be later on in life, but we realize that there was a fire that was started and we're standing in the debris that we allowed that to burn down because we started the fire with the tongue that's in our mouth. Lord, help us. Amen. Lord, help us if we are quick to see that fires can spread everywhere around us. And Lord, help us if we are quick to call for investigations into it and there are destruction and someone needs to be held accountable. It's easy for us to point fingers and throw blame around for that kind of destruction. But when it comes to the destruction that's caused by our tongue, the lives that are ruined by our words and our attitudes, the churches that are blown apart because of our unwillingness to control our tongue, the families that are full of animosity because of our pride, all of that destruction, all of those pieces that are lying everywhere, after all of that destruction, not one of us will call for an investigation. Why? Because we know that investigation is going to end with us.
Amen.
You know, when you study fire science, and I'm sure Brother Jeremy can say a whole lot about fires and fire science and those types of things and the fires that he's been in, but it never ceases to amaze me how a structure, a large structure, even like this building, if a large structure is to burn down, how they can narrow it down to the very wall this fire started in. You know, God can do that as well. He knows exactly where it's at. God doesn't only know where the fire started. God knows who started the fire before the destructions ever happened. The Lord knows it. There doesn't have to be some investigation that goes into it. We can hide a lot of things from the people in this world, but we cannot hide anything from God.
Amen.
Why is it we do not call for an investigation into that type of destruction? It's because we would be self-incriminating ourselves. The clues would lead back to this little fire, this little member in our mouth that's permitted to set fires all around us. You know, and many times we are very quick to think about the fires that other people set with their mouth. And oftentimes, because of the fire that they set with their mouth, you know what we do with ours? We allow that fire to spread through our mouth. Lord, help us. If someone is saying something that we don't agree with and someone's accusing us of something that is not true, you know what's going to happen? God will take care of it. Let's keep our mouths shut.
Amen.
Let's allow the Lord to do what he does best. God knows everything. So first of all, we see the destruction. Second of all, I want you to notice this, the degradation. Notice the degradation. Look at verse 6 of our passage. It says this, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." You know, I love how the Lord paints very clear pictures in our minds through Scripture. And it never ceases to amaze me. Some people will say, well, you just can't understand the Bible. Well, look what it says here about this tongue. It says that it is a world of iniquity. The Bible leaves no question there. It makes no bones about it. The tongue is trouble. It's exactly what it is. Oftentimes when a person paints their house or they make an improvement on the house or something like that, the others around them, they will say this, "It made a world of difference what you did there." What does that mean? It means that it was a huge improvement. It improved it greatly. And here we see that it doesn't say that the tongue includes a world of iniquity. Notice what it says. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." It is a world of iniquity. It is full of trouble. It is huge trouble. And if we are honest with ourselves and each other and the Lord God of heaven, we will have to admit that our tongue at one time or another has caused a world of trouble in our lives, either by things that we've said that we shouldn't have said or things that we did not say that God told us to say. Lord, help us. Here's an encouraging statement for us tonight as well. Our tongue will always be full of iniquity. It'll always be full of trouble while we are in this sin-cursed world here. The tongue is evil. It's full of sin. It's filled with lies and blasphemy. It desires to tell unclean jokes. It is deceitful. That's what our tongue is. There was a man that we all know the name of, the name Methuselah. He was the oldest man, lived longer than any other human being, over 900 years. And even in that many years, I can guarantee you, he could not rid his tongue of the world of iniquity that it was. Because it's still there. Every one of us, we have that tongue, and it's degrading. Isn't it true that compliments do not naturally flow from our tongue? We are always naturally degrading someone. That's what our tongue wants to do. And many times, our tongue will go out of its way to degrade someone. It'll go out of its way to tear someone down, to tell them what we think. It'll go out of its way. Why is that? Because our tongue is degrading.
Amen.
Our tongue desires to tear someone down. Have you noticed that you have to cause your flesh to go out of its way to give someone a compliment? Many times we will degrade someone, tear someone down, give them our 2 cents about a situation, and we'll do that at the drop of a hat. But many times when it comes to a compliment, oftentimes we'll see someone and they'll do something right, and rather than giving them praise for that and telling them, wow, that was a great job, many times, oh, that was nice, and we'll just walk away. Sometimes we don't even say anything. Lord, help us. Our tongue is destructive. It is degrading. Next, let's look at this. It's defiling. It's defiling. Look at verse 6. The Bible says this, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. It's defiling. It says here, the tongue defileth the whole body. Our illustration earlier about the Chicago fire and the fire in downtown Oxford, you know what both of those fires had in common? The fire did not stay where it started. It continued to go. It continued to spread. A fire doesn't get started and then it's just satisfied after burning one wall, one room, one building. No, it will continue to spread. A fire is never satisfied. You know, it takes more water to put a fire out than it does than a fire needs to help it start as far as the work goes. If you have a little tiny fire and you set a building on fire with just a match and just that little tiny fire, and all of a sudden it starts going up into flames, it is amazing the thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of gallons of water it takes to put out the fire that was started with that little match. It defiles the whole thing. Fire is never satisfied. You know what else is never satisfied? Our tongue. It will continue to tear down. It will continue to break down. It will continue to destroy. And when one person has been annihilated by our tongue, we will not be satisfied with that. We will look for someone else to tear down. And we've seen people who seem to always have something negative to say. And what you find is this. They will never reserve it to one person. They'll never reserve it to one idea. A negative person is completely defiled because the tongue defiles the whole body. You cannot be a negative person and be following the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because that's not the way that God acts.
That's
not the way that a Christian is to act either. No, the tongue defiles the whole body. And if we are constantly tearing other people down and, well, they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that and they need to be in church and they need to be doing this, understand, those things may be true. But if we'll look in the mirror, we'll realize we've got a little fire in our mouth that needs to be taken care of. We've got sins in our own lives that we need to be on our faces before the Lord and asking the Lord to help us because we realize our whole body is defiled. First of all, we see that it's destructive. We see it's degrading. We see it's defiling. Now let's see this, the devastation it causes. The devastation that it causes. Notice the phrase in verse 6 that it says, setteth on fire the course of nature. Setteth on fire the course of nature. No, wait a second here. In the verse before this, we're talking about this little member. We're talking about this, the Bible says this, that even so the tongue is a little member. Later on in that verse, it says that it is a little fire. And then as we get through verse 6, it says, and setteth on fire the course of nature. Just that little fire. There's a principle here we need to get a hold of. This is a warning for every single one of us. This is not only for the old or only for the young. This is for every single one of us. This is a warning of the devastation that our tongue causes, not just in the moment, but in the path that it puts us on.
Amen.
Why is it that bitter children and bitter teenagers become bitter adults? Because it sets them on a path. That bitterness in their life, that tongue, when we allow our children to be disrespectful to us as parents, understand they will be disrespectful to their boss and they'll be disrespectful to everyone else around them. It sets them on a course. It's amazing. Some of the things that I hear children saying to me or saying to people today, whether we're in the store, wherever it may be, the way that even a teenager will talk to their mom or their dad, it makes my jaw hurt.
Yes, amen.
Because I know I would have lost about 3 teeth if I said something like that to my parents. Amen?
Amen.
But the truth of the matter is this, the tongue is a little member. But too often, even at such a young age, when they first begin to talk, they begin to say some things. And at that time, well, I know that they lied, but it's just so cute. No, it's not. It's sin.
Amen.
And though they may be cute to look upon, they're sinners that need to be saved.
That's right.
And they need someone to guide them. They need someone to teach them. Understand, it talks about this tongue setting on fire the course of nature. Church, our tongue will affect our entire life. Our tongue can be used for good. And if we allow the Lord to guide our tongue, our attitude, our words, our tone, it will put us on a good path. But if we allow the tongue to be evil, as we are looking at here, it will, like a fire, devastate our entire life. And we get later on in life and we're standing there amongst all of the destruction. Everything around us is burned down. There's no family member that's standing by our side. There's no loved ones that want anything to do with us, and we will die a lonely, wretched mess. Why? Because we wouldn't allow the Lord to give us the power to control the little member.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
There's many people who have destroyed their lives because of that little member. Why is it we spend so much time warning people against drugs and alcohol? We'll tell kids to stay away from those things, tell teenagers to stay away from drugs and drug addicts and all of that. Why is that? Because we know it will put them on a path of life that's destructive. We know that. We don't want our children to be hanging out with ones that are partaking in those types of things. And many times, and I'm sure everyone in this room heard this at one point or another, you tried to do something and mom or dad said this, not in my house, it's not happening. Why? Because they realized it was a destructive behavior and they were not going to allow it. And we'll see that with drugs and alcohol and sometimes with other things like that. But the truth of the matter is this, we know that life's destructive and we're quick to warn about those things. We will warn them that it's going to be devastating, but we allow ourselves so often to continue in devastating and defiling and destructive and degrading speech. And by doing that, we are training our children to do the same. Lord, help us.
Correct. Amen.
We're following this path and training our children to follow a path that is setting their whole life on fire. And understand that if we are not training our children in the way that they should go, if we are allowing them to backtalk us as parents and be disrespectful to their authority and all of those sorts of things, you know what we're doing as parents? We're handing them the match to light their life on fire.
That's right.
That's what we're doing. Well, they have to make their own decisions. Yes, they do. But last I heard that the children were supposed to obey their parents. Amen. Lord, help us. But also we need to keep ourselves to that same standard. Don't allow the fire to just continue to grow. Put it out. Put it out immediately. Notice also this evening, notice the devilish behavior. Devilish behavior. Look at verse 6 at the very end. And it is set on fire of hell. See another picture that's colored for us here, and that is of the fire of hell. Now, hellfire is nothing that anyone enjoys thinking about. It's not something that when you hear that there's going to be a message on hell, no one says, "Wow, I can't wait for that message. I'm going to leave the church and I'm going just to feel so good about myself." No, because it's not a good place. Praise the Lord, if you've trusted Christ your Savior, you don't have to worry about going there. But the truth of the matter is this, we all have unsaved loved ones and unsaved friends and co-workers and all that are going there. But understand the truth that's put forth in this verse. It says, and it is set on fire of hell. When we allow our tongue to spew evil things and we use it to tear people down or pursue our own personal ideas or agendas, if we are following our plan rather than God's plan, who are we representing? We're not representing God. That means we're representing Satan himself.
That's right.
He's a pride-filled being. A man by the name of Lehman Strauss, he said this, "Behind every word that is unclean, untrue, angry, divisive, or unkind is Satan himself." Think about that. As we go through life as believers, we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are to do what the Bible tells us to do. We are to, of course, we're going to give account of ourselves unto God. So if the Bible says, this is what you're to do, this is how you're to act, this is how you're to speak, this is the principles you need to have in your life for music and dress and all these sorts of things, then that's what we need to do. Why? Because we are to be following the Lord. Then it should absolutely scare us to death when we allow that speech to come out of our mouth. It should scare us to death and scare us to our knees and say, "Lord, forgive me of that. I don't want to follow Satan's agenda. I don't want to follow those things. Lord, I pray that you would put pure words in my mouth."
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Not one place in Scripture where you read of Satan building someone up or in a good way, or there's not one place in Scripture where you're going to find Satan giving someone a compliment. No, what you're going to find is every time Satan is there to overthrow someone or to tear someone down or to tempt someone. Think about that. Why? Because he is evil. And when we allow our tongue to act and to speak and to sound like these things that we've heard tonight, we are not representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're representing Satan himself. And we need the Lord to help us with that. When we try to push our plans or our agenda rather than God's plan, understand we are doing the exact same thing that Satan did. Now, we won't like to admit this, but anytime we allow our pride to get in the way and we follow our agenda, you know what Satan said? "I will be like the Most High." Think about that for a second. He's saying, "I'll be in charge. I'll take the reins here. I will steer the helm of the ship. I'll be in control. No one's going to be able to overtake me. No one can tell me what to do. I make my own decisions." Isn't that what Satan was doing?
That's right.
When we're not following the Lord, that's exactly what we're doing as well. The issue is, if we take the reins from God, we're not holding the reins. When we take them out of his hands, we're handing them right to Satan himself. Because there's only one thing that's guiding us. It's either Satan or it's God. What are we going to allow to steer our ship? Satan was all about himself. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I must be about my Father's business. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth." I think that's important. He only spoke what was glorifying to God. There was an awful lot of people that did some pretty terrible things to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Not one cross word came out of his mouth.
Right.
Not one curse word. He wasn't tearing people down in an unkind way.
That's right.
You don't find the Lord complaining about the current politics. No, he said, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and unto God's that which is God's.
That's right.
The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our example. But too often we allow that fire that's in our mouth to set on fire the course of nature.
That's right.
We need the Lord to help us. Church, we need the Lord's help in this area. We will be continuing on in the study of the tongue, but it is my prayer that the Lord will continue to use these truths as a constant reminder to show us how corrupted our tongue is. And may the Lord put a stop on our mouth that before we say anything, we think about how it's going to affect. We think about, who is this going to glorify? Is what I'm about to say going to glorify God, or is what I'm going to say going to be glorifying Satan himself?
That's right.
Is it pushing God's agenda, or is it pushing my agenda? Is it building up Christ, or is it building up Satan? What am I going to say, and who is it going to build up? And I can guarantee you this, if we give God the reins of our tongue, He's going to guide us in the path that's right.
Amen.
He's going to guide us in a path that is glorifying to Him. And sometimes it will be as the Lord Jesus Christ when He opened not His mouth. Lord, help us to realize the corruption that's within our tongue. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, and Lord, every one of us, we have this little member that we're studying about tonight. We have this this member that is within our mouths, and Lord, it gets us into so much trouble. Lord, we allow this little member, this tongue, to just say things that are not glorifying to You, to say things that are not said in a Christ-honoring way. Lord, I pray that You would help us, that You would guide us, that You would direct us, that You would put a stop on our mouths, Lord, and help us to think about what we say before we say it. I pray that it would be every one of our desires, Lord, to glorify You with every word that comes out of our mouth, with every thought that enters our mind. And Lord, I pray that when we say some cross words, or when we say some things that we know that we shouldn't say, or we have an attitude in which we shouldn't have had, Lord, I pray that You would convict us, Lord, prick our hearts on that, and I pray that we would be quick to confess that sin unto You. Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit's power. I pray, Lord, that You would keep in front of us the corruption of the tongue. Help us, Lord, to follow You in this matter. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, that has caused destruction to, whether it's family members or friends or co-workers, Lord, no matter how far back it may be, Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, bring that to mind and help us to be humble enough to set that right, to apologize to that person so that we can move on for You. Lord, help us throughout this invitation time, work on our hearts. Help us control our tongue. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the truth of the matter is this. Each one of us have that member that so often sets on fire the course of nature, causes destruction, and many times we are left standing in the pieces, standing amongst the rubble. Church, we need the Lord's help to control the tongue. We need the Lord's help to be ones that are speaking truth and speaking the truth in love. The Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Many times we get into some situations simply because we don't answer the way that we should. That's the destruction of the tongue. That's defiling. We need the Lord's help in that area. If you're here this evening, you say, Pastor Combs, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in one area or multiple areas. Would you slip your hand up? You say, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart tonight. Amen. Let's allow the Lord to help us. Let's all stand to our feet. And as the piano plays, if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, feel free to come to the altar. Let's ask the Lord to do a work that only He can do and help us control this little member. You come.
Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that hymn of invitation there. I surrender all. That has to do with our words and our thoughts. And